For years, scientists have been warning about increased pollution on Lake Winnipeg and how this is threatening its vital ecosystems. Last month, the German-based Global Nature Fund named Lake Winnipeg the most threatened lake of 2013, a distinction that has gone in previous years to the Dead Sea in Israel, Jordan, and Palestine, Lake Victoria in East Africa, and Lake Chapala in Mexico. Joining us to talk about this dubious distinction is Vicky Burns, Outreach Coordinator for the Lake Winnipeg Foundation. Welcome, Vicky.
Thanks, Josh. I'm glad to be here.
So, how bad is Lake Winnipeg?
That's a very good question. I think it's really important for people to understand that the lake is not dead or dying at this point, but it is suffering from increasingly large blue-green algae blooms. And some of those blue-green algae blooms contain toxins, which are really dangerous to people and to animals. And when those blooms die, they take up a lot of oxygen and they sink to the bottom of the lake. And when they use up a lot of the oxygen, it can create conditions at the bottom of the lake that are anoxic. In other words, there's no oxygen, and that kills whatever life is at the bottom there. And ultimately, that's going to have a major effect on the, you know, the whole food chain in the lake. So the algae blooms have been really increasing in size since the 1990s. And now, sometimes there are years when they actually take up, you know, as much as 15,000 square kilometers of the lake surface. That's really huge.
I've seen the pictures of it, but should we be worried about swimming in Lake Winnipeg?
When there's blooms present, yes, absolutely, we should be worrying. You should actually not go swimming when there's a blue-green algae bloom present, because some of the blue-green algae can, as I mentioned earlier, it contains toxins that can be very dangerous, dangerous to your liver, dangerous to a number of organs in your body. So it really is, it's not very wise to go in the water when there's blue-green algae. In fact, there's been quite a few cases of dogs who have actually died after going in the water with blue-green algae, because dogs, when they come out of the water, they lick themselves, they lick their fur, and therefore they ingest a fair amount of that. And it's so quick that they die within a few hours usually. So most humans, when they actually see the blue-green algae, because it looks so unhealthy, they wouldn't choose to go in the water.
But does it affect wildlife as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, actually, one thing is, it doesn't seem to be having an effect on the fish, some of the species of fish. They seem to be able to tolerate swimming and probably ingesting some of it. One thing we don't know yet is whether there are possible toxins that accumulate in the flesh of the fish. But what will affect the fish population eventually is if the life forms at the bottom of the food chain, if they die because of the lack of oxygen at the bottom of the lake, then that'll mean less food for the fish. So it's a really alarming situation. The good news out of it, though, is that we do know a lot of what we can do to change the situation. And the Lake Winnipeg Foundation is really working hard now to promote those ideas and to actually create sort of a plan to save Lake Winnipeg.
Great. I mentioned at in the intro to this talk that the Global Nature Fund has named Lake Winnipeg the most threatened lake of the year. What does that distinction mean?
Well, essentially, what the Global Nature Fund is, a German organization, but they have contacts all around the world, and they look at lakes that have significant pollution threats around the world, and they look at scientific reports, but not just that. They also look at if they make that designation, because it's not strictly a scientific designation, but they try and select a lake where they feel that the action to help the lake does not have enough momentum, and they try and select a lake where they feel that those of us who are involved can actually use that designation to create a lot more urgency and push to get things happening.
Aside from the eutrophication that you were talking about with the blue-green algae, are there other industrial developments along Lake Winnipeg that are of concern to your organization?
Well, for example, peat mining operations that are happening sometimes pretty close to the shores of the lake, those are really problematic for a number of reasons. One thing is that when they mine the peat, it's sort of like strip mining, and what it does is it removes all of that top layer of peat, and it creates conditions where when there's heavy rainfall or a lot of snowfall or whatever, the runoff from the land is going to be a lot greater without the peat moss there. So that contributes more phosphorus to the water, and phosphorus and nitrogen are what are feeding the blue-green algae blooms. So that's one problem. As well, the peat mining, I mean, there's a lot of other issues. It releases a lot of carbon to the atmosphere, and so there's many good reasons why we really should not be having any more peat mining operations start in the province of Manitoba, and I hope that the ones that are currently operating might wind up in the near future.
You mentioned climate change. Now, across the whole watershed of Lake Winnipeg, which is quite vast, I understand, there's effects of climate change. How is climate change affecting the lake and the watershed?
Well, there's really big effects from climate change, because what's happening is there's a lot more flooding across many areas of the Lake Winnipeg watershed, which is huge, actually. It's almost a million square kilometers. But we're most familiar with the flooding that's happened in the last 20 years in the Red River Basin. A lot, you know, all of us are aware of how much more frequently in the last 20 years we've actually seen flooding on the Red River. But just 2 years ago, we had a tremendous flood on the Assiniboine River. And I'm afraid to say that there may be some chances that we're going to have flooding on the Assiniboine River again this year. Now, those flooding events, a lot of them are caused by climate change, because there's much heavier snowfall, there's much more intense rainfall that happens. And when those events carry a lot more moisture, and when it falls all at one time, there's way more runoff that gets into our streams and into our rivers. Beyond that, one of the other major factors that is affecting the lake is the fact that we've done so much drainage. We've drained almost 70% of the wetlands across the prairies. We've added other drainage in order to create more agricultural land, but the problem with drainage is it causes all that phosphorus and nitrogen that's creating the problem runs off much faster when you drain the land faster. So I was actually very fascinated to learn from a scientist at the University of Manitoba, Greg McCullough, that in the last decade or so, the amount of water coming up the Red River into Lake Winnipeg is actually twice as much as it was in the previous decade. And not only is it twice as much water, but it's carrying with it 2.4 times as much phosphorus. So it's more than double the amount of phosphorus that used to be coming up the river. So a lot of that has to do with climate change.
Now, next month, I understand the federal government is going to close down the Experimental Lakes area in northern Ontario. Do we know enough about, is the science of Lake Winnipeg strong enough? And do we know enough that closing down the research station, are we going to lose something out of that in our ability to restore Lake Winnipeg?
I think the work that goes on at the Experimental Lakes areas is tremendously important. And I think Lake Winnipeg, we've learned a lot from the research that they did. They have done at Experimental Lake area, but it's still not enough. So certainly the Lake Winnipeg Foundation is really very, very concerned about that closure, and has spoken quite loudly that we hope that they don't actually carry through with that, because it's not only valuable research for Lake Winnipeg, but for lakes all over the world. It's so rare to have a situation where you can actually do research on field-based research on a whole lake ecosystem. Mm-hmm. It's tremendously important, and so it really shouldn't be shut down.
What should government be doing to restore Lake Winnipeg?
Well, we know that there are several things that we could start on immediately to cut down on the phosphorus that's getting into the water. One of the most important and first things that should happen is the city of Winnipeg really should be improving our wastewater treatment systems right away. They keep on delaying it, and that's problematic because the city of Winnipeg's wastewater is the single largest point source of phosphorus in the entire watershed. Now, it's not a huge amount. It's anywhere from 5 to 7% of the phosphorus, but there isn't any other single point source of phosphorus. And if we in Winnipeg, who enjoy the lake the most and we live the closest to the lake, if we're not even willing to do the right thing, then how can we expect others to do it? Beyond that, we need the government to really make some serious investments in keeping water on the land. That means stopping draining certain wetlands. It means reconstructing wetlands in targeted areas, and it means other ways, for example, farm retention ponds on farms and so on. There's some good ideas out there, and we need to get going on them immediately.
Now, you were telling me that listeners can get involved in an interesting creative project for expressing their views about Lake Winnipeg.
Yes, absolutely. The Lake Winnipeg Foundation, we're actually trying to relate to with all the new technology there is. So we've actually created a live word cloud on the Lake Winnipeg Foundation website. So just go to lakewinnipegfoundation.org and you'll see it right on the front page. You click on that button. And what we're asking is we're asking you to text, the instructions are there, but text and put the three words that best describe to you what Lake Winnipeg is all about. And it's kind of a fun thing because it changes as more people text in. So you text 39 39 39, and then in the keyword you put lake and then you put your three words. But just go to the Lake Winnipeg Foundation website and you'll see the instructions right there.
And so what is a word cloud?
Oh, it's kind of it's a living document, actually, and it has a whole bunch of different words that actually we've had a survey done, and that's how this initial word cloud was created. So when people were asked to put in what are the three words that you think describe Lake Winnipeg, the more often a certain word was used, the bigger it appears on the diagram. And so there are dozens of words on the diagram because it's whatever people have put in, but the ones that are used most often become the largest. And so it's quite an interesting visual way to see what people are actually thinking about the lake. Right now, it's sort of half and half between beautiful and polluted.
Well, let's hope it moves to the more beautiful side soon.
Yes, absolutely.
What other things can citizens and listeners do to help the lake?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that we can actually do in our own homes, which sometimes surprises people. The first and simple thing is make sure that the cleaning products you use are lake-friendly. That means Eco-Logo certified. They don't have any phosphates in them. So when you're shopping, try and look for lake-friendly products. In your own garden, don't use cosmetic fertilizer if possible, because a lot of that runs off and gets into our stormwater and goes right up into the lake. So try and learn about how to make an environmentally friendly garden without using a lot of fertilizer. And it'll help you as well, because in times where it's very dry, you won't have to do a lot of watering, because an environmentally friendly garden means planting plants that are really well suited to our climate. Things like water conservation, like not wasting water. Try and install a low-flow toilet and low-flow showers. And the reason that makes a difference is because the more water we put into our wastewater system, the more wear and tear on that system. And that costs a lot of money, and it means it needs to be refurbished sooner. So it's just, in general, not a good principle to waste water. There's a lot we can do on wastewater treatment. But finally, the important thing is to let your city councillor, your provincial MLA, and your federal MP, let them know that you really want government to take action on this. You know, give them a phone call, send them an email. They need to understand that the public cares about our lake, our lakes, actually, because there's many lakes in Manitoba that are threatened, and that we want something done about it.
Well, thanks so much for letting us know about all this, and let's hope that the Lake Winnipeg quality improves in the near future.
Great. Thanks, Josh.
I've been speaking with Vicki Burns of the Lake Winnipeg Foundation. You're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.